I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. So let's say I don't know much about Ernest Hemingway. I know he's been referred to as America's greatest writer. He's Margot Hemingway's grandfather. But what could pique my interest in the book, writer, sailor, soldier, spy, Ernest Hemingway's Secret Adventures? Today, my conversation is with the author of that book, Nick Reynolds. Thanks so much for talking to me today, Nick.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So, Nick, your own story, man, is filled with adventures, too. I mean, you were a longtime CIA officer, a former Marine colonel, Oxford-trained historian who worked as the historian at the CIA Museum. I never even knew that there was a CIA Museum. So let's start there. What's that all about?
Okay, the CIA Museum is a museum at the CIA campus. It's primarily for CIA employees. It's a way of telling the CIA story to CIA employees. And what the historian does there is basically about content. So he researches the background of a particular artifact. He looks at stories and then considers ways to tell those stories in a museum setting.
Wow. And so would there be like the Kennedy gun thing, would that be in there?
The Kennedy gun?
You know, with the assassination?
The Kennedy gun might be in the FBI or Secret Service Museum, I'm not sure, but what you have in the CIA Museum the CIA Museum has an OSS gallery.
Okay.
So that's about the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, was the World War II precursor to the CIA. And so there's an exhibit on its creation, on what it did in World War II. In the museum, in that particular exhibit, we have weapons used in World War II. We have a little printing press that was used to create propaganda.
Wow.
Against the Nazis. We have some wonderful fake stamps that were made to intimidate the Nazis. They show Hitler's face in a skeletal way.
Oh, wow.
We have the desk of the first OSS director, first and only, by the way, William J. Donovan. We have his medals. We have some artifacts of clothing. We have an Enigma machine, the German encoding machine, which is a big part of the intel story in World War II. So things that try and connect the things that we show to connect the visitor with the past.
Wow.
To try and tell the story. I think it's easier to tell a compelling story when you can point to a concrete object and say, this is the hat worn by so-and-so on a particular day.
That's fascinating. I mean, it really brings history to life. You know, really, when you can see these things in the physical form. Okay, so let me ask you, let's start with your book. Tell me a little bit about writer, sailor, soldier, spy, Ernest Hemingway's Secret Adventures. And he had a lot of them.
He had a lot of them. One of the reasons Hemingway is endlessly fascinating to us is he fitted so much into his life. You know, travels on one, two, three, four continents. And just bigger life adventures on each of those four continents, and then the variety of activities that he gets involved in, and that he himself is pretty good at, right? So that's why we like the title that suggests a guy who is not, he's not a one-trick pony. There's so many things he can do. And he does them pretty well, by and large, for an amateur. He's a great hunter. He's a great fisherman. He's a great sailor. He's a surprisingly good soldier for somebody who has never had a day of formal military training. He's got an instinctive feel for terrain, for movement, for a whole range of military skills. So this is one more, what I'm trying to do in the book is say there's one more field that we need to acknowledge Ernest's interest in. I'm not overturning previous Hemingway scholarship. There's a lot of great books about Hemingway out there. You're in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
You're part of the
I know
the legacy. There's a great Hemingway Society in Michigan. My first meeting of the Hemingway Society was in Petoskey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it's an adventuresome life.
I mean, in your book, you talk about how I think it was his father that taught him to hunt and fish and camp.
Correct.
Right in northern Michigan. I never knew that. I had no idea. I mean, he was a multifaceted guy. I love him. He's a cat guy. Had all those polydactyl cats.
Right.
Now he was born in 1899.
Correct.
And he died in 1961. Do you think that he had to live a double life back then? I'm thinking, like, because it's before Twitter and Facebook. I mean, I didn't know any of these things. Did anybody?
Well, I think you've hit two nails right on the head there. This was a guy who was pretty secretive. Even if you take the spying out of the mix, you see a pattern of secrets flowing through Hemingway's life.
Yeah.
Things that he keeps to himself that he doesn't share. And that, you know, where you divorce one woman and marry another, but first you have an affair with
right.
the future wife, you know, that suggests a pattern of secrets.
And a little dysfunction, but that's another story.
and a little dysfunction. I mean, there's better ways to do this
right.
than to live secrets. But it's a guy who I think a life of secrets is too much because
right.
there's that's not quite right because there's so much out front that we can see. But I like to say that what I'm offering is another layer, that there is something going on. Is it a double life? Not quite, but it's an added burden. It's a secret burden.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good way to put it, right?
I like to say he's similar to somebody who doesn't fill out the tax form.
Right.
He misses intentionally around a big chunk of income, and then he spends the next few years worrying, oh, are they ever going to come for me? And that's kind of where he is with the Soviets, I think, and some of his friendships on the left and his admiration for Castro. He's worried that he's put himself into a suspect category in the United States and that the FBI is going to come for him.
Yeah, and I like how you talked about how he had these four wives, right? And I'm thinking, like, what's with all the wives? Well, he sort of strikes me as like one of those guys who can't be alone. Like, he always has to have a woman. And when Agnes, one of his wives, rejected him, that kind of changed him, didn't it?
Well, you're thinking. So Agnes von Karowski is his first major girlfriend.
Right.
And she rejects him.
Right.
That hurts.
And it kind of looked like after that, then he rejected the wives first.
Let me think. So the first wife is Hadley, and he leaves her for Pauline Pfeiffer. So he rejects. So he's rejecting Hadley. Then he rejects Pauline for Martha. He and Martha fight bitterly.
Yeah.
I would say he probably rejects her more than the other way around. Martha tries fairly hard to save the relationship. And then his last wife is Mary, and she stays his wife until the end of his life.
You know, Nick, talking to Nick Reynolds about his book, Writer, Sailor, Soldier, Spy, I'll have a link to purchase it after the interview airs on the podcast. You know, when you talk about him and his adventures as a sailor. And that's how I like how the book's laid out, because it's writer, sailor, soldier, spy. And you cover, he almost seems like he's, like I said earlier, he's multifaceted. He can do a lot of different things. You know, how did you first learn about all these roles that he played, and why did you want to write the book? Why about Ernest Hemingway?
Well, so it starts with me being a Hemingway fan and then finding this Soviet document that says that he'd had a relationship with him, and I wanted an explanation. So that's a big part of it for me. But how do I learn about this stuff? I gotta go back to the Hemingway Society and Hemingway scholars who've gone before me. I learned a lot of stuff just by listening to them and reading their books. You know, there's a Hemingway scholar who focused on just that particular part of his life that we're talking about right now, which is how good he was at how many things. You know, how he took a craftsman's delight in doing certain things right.
Yeah.
So whether that's his writing, what do we say, 30 some endings to, I think for whom, let's see, the World War One novel, Farewell to Arms.
Yeah, right.
He's a great craftsman. So a short answer to your question, I learned a lot from other people who went before me. I'm standing on the shoulders, gratefully standing on the shoulders of a lot of wonderful Hemingway scholars.
It's a fascinating book. I mean, I only knew him as a writer, and you know, and you cover each of them, as I said. Could you talk a little bit about this Ernest Hemingway, the spy?
So Ernest Hemingway, the spy, is for me the guy who's interested in the secret world and active in the secret world, and that covers the range of activities from doing odd jobs for the Soviets and the Comintern in Spain, which might be producing a piece of propaganda, which might be talking to somebody about their political leanings. It might be making an introduction. It might be withholding a fact. So you're there as a newsman, but what if you come across a fact that doesn't reflect well on your side? Maybe somebody's going to ask you not to print that for now. So that's part of Hemingway the spy. The other part of Hemingway the spy is his ability to keep a secret, to operate securely without being exposed. He's got a little bit of a flair for counterintelligence work, which means catching enemy spies. He's great at paramilitary operations, which is a subspecialty here, and that we see both in the Caribbean in 1942-43 and then in 1944 outside Paris, where he's basically running a tactical intelligence bureau, which means he's running spies into the German lines and then talking to them when they come back, interrogating prisoners, running infantry patrols to see what's going on the battlefield, reconnaissance patrols, and then putting it all together and producing a finished intelligence that he is giving to the decision maker, in this case, the French general who went on to capture Paris.
Yeah, it's a great read. I've just enjoyed it so much. And I know you have to go in a minute. I just have one more question.
Sure.
He was kind of acquainted in some way to Pablo Picasso, yes?
He was. And so that would be before World War II. And I'd have to go check, but I believe they encountered each other again in August 1944 when Hemingway was part of the liberation of Paris.
Yeah, it's like when I read that, it kind of jumped out at me, like Pablo Picasso. It puts everything in perspective, you know. So anyway, thank you so much for talking to me today. Great conversation here with Nick Reynolds. His book is Writer, Sailor, Soldier, Spy, Ernest Hemingway's Secret Adventures. It's a great read, and I'll have all the info up on the podcast. Thanks so much today, Nick.
You bet.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.